friends in Christ, we have had the custom here in the city of Mary for many years now, during the season of Lent, to recite the chaplet of Our Mother's Sorrows every Wednesday. And of course, normally we've done that as a Sunday chaplet and are doing it here in the church for the benefit of those who would like to see these devotions live streamed. The reason why we do this is because it's important during the season of Lent that we call to mind not just the sufferings of Jesus, not just His terrible passion and His death for our sins, for the redemption of the world, but also the sorrows of our Blessed Mother. And when we think of the sorrows of Our Lady, we know that we honor seven particular sorrows, beginning with the prophecy of Simeon. But really, her entire life was covered by a pall of sorrow. And it began with the prophecy of Simeon. Imagine those first years of such great joy, the first few months of the Annunciation, the visitation, the birth. But then, 40 days after the birth of the child, our Blessed Mother and St. Joseph took the child Jesus up to the temple to present him to Almighty God. And the holy priest, an old man, inspired by God, knew that this was the Redeemer. This was the child that he had been waiting all his life to see. And he said that beautiful canticle, "Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word of peace." But then he went on after the canticle to look directly at our Blessed Mother and to say to her, "Thine own soul a sword shall pierce." And from that moment, our Blessed Mother never forgot that her son was going to die a cruel death for the redemption of the world. She knew the scriptures. No doubt she had read, for example, that 53rd chapter of Isaiah the prophet, talking about how her divine son would be led as a lamb to the slaughter, that he would be covered with wounds. There would be no sight in his image, and so forth, no humbleness. So she knew the scriptures, and those words of Simeon were the first sword to plunge her heart. What interesting words, "Thine own soul a sword shall pierce." And of course, these sorrows culminated on Calvary. So, as we reflect upon the passion of our Lord, we should also call to mind the many sufferings of our Blessed Mother, which were a result of our sins, the sins of all mankind. Our Blessed Mother herself had no sin. She had no sins to expiate. She was the perfect human being, the sinless, the immaculate. Why did she suffer? In the designs of Almighty God, in His plan, it was fitting that just as the downfall of the human race was brought about by the cooperation of a man and a woman, so now the redemption of the human race was to be accomplished by a man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, and a woman, the new Eve, our Blessed Mother, cooperating together, offering their sorrows, offering their pains, offering their sufferings for the redemption of the world. And that is why we call our Blessed Mother the co-redemptrix. Jesus did not need her sorrows to redeem the world. He was God. Everything He did was infinite in value. But He chose to unite her pains to His own passion and death, for our welfare, for our salvation, for our redemption. So we owe a great deal to our Blessed Mother. She brought into the world Jesus, our Redeemer. She did not ask him to come down. She did not say, Jesus, this is too much. Come down. No, she stood there and bravely joined her divine son, pleading for mercy upon this world. How much we owe to our Blessed Mother. There are a number of saints who have a particular devotion to the sorrows of Our Lady, and they found that devotion to be very sanctified. We have, for example, the seven men who founded the Sarahite order in the 1200s, had a great devotion to Our Blessed Mother, and were inspired by her to found a religious congregation, particularly devoted to her sorrows, to meditating upon her sorrows, to offer compassion to Our Blessed Mother for what she suffered, to make atonement for the sins of the world that wound her heart and caused the sufferings of her divine son. Other saints like Saint Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows, and so many others who have a particular devotion to Our Lady under that title, and reflected upon her sorrows, and thereby found it a very great means of sanctification. So let us, during this Passion time, as we reflect upon the Passion and death of our Lord, not forget to think also about the sorrows of our Blessed Mother, to reflect upon the terrible price of sin, and to do all we can to eliminate every sin from our lives, and to say to our Blessed Mother,